Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Have to love the old Superman TV shows, right? You had Lois and Clark. This one here is from Smallville. And what you have there is when Clark Kent, Superman, is trying to hone in his super-powered hearing. And I love the line in there where she says, focus or listen for your father's voice. And that today is exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how do we listen for our father, Father God, how do we listen for his voice? And then how in the world do we know what we're hearing is really him? So, you know, over the past few months, we've really asked a ton out of you as a church. We've asked you guys to come and be a part of something brand new. Pastor Steve cast a vision for reaching 7 out of 10 people in Virginia Beach that don't know who Jesus is, and we cast a vision for how in the world we might go and do that. We continued to pray about not just that vision for reaching that 70%, but where in the world would we do it? And you saw that we had that picture out here that had those points on the map, and we determined that a perfect place would be right up in the town center area to launch this North Campus. We prayed about what would we do in the interim. You know, we prayed and determined we couldn't build on this property, at least not yet. It wasn't going to work to put a 600-seat sanctuary out on the front end so we could all stay together and, you know, have our holy huddles on Sunday mornings, but we couldn't do it. We couldn't all stay here. So we had to do something different. What would that be? Ultimately, looks like it's going to be a North Campus, which will launch in September. We asked you guys to change your service times. When do you come to church? Can you please move that? Can you go to a different service? I know, I'm guilty. I go to the website all the time just to remember what time services are. I know you guys are doing it. Not only do I know that you're doing it because our website hits are going up, but I know it because you wander in here a little bit late every once in a while. I get it. It's hard to know. You're so used to those service times. But we've asked you all along to just kind of bear with us, hang with us, and pray with us. And what I can tell you is the evidence of your prayer is obvious. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but Essential Church's average attendance over the last month has been over 700 people a week. And that's from you guys. You know, when you clap in youth, just so you know, if you clap in youth, I tell you this. If you're going to clap, you might as well stand. So, no standing ovations this morning. No, that's good. Clap. But so here's the thing. That we're not all about those numbers. Honestly, it's great that there's 700 people here. But what it is it's a great metric for us to look and say, you guys love what is going on. You guys love what's going on in Essential enough that you would invite your coworkers and your friends. And maybe it's the coworkers that they're not your friends, but you really wish they'd find Jesus because that's why they're not your friend. I get it. But we've asked you guys to do these things. You've done it. We've asked you to pray. You've done it. We've prayed like crazy, and this is where we're at this moment, getting ready to launch into this North Campus. But here's something that I hear all the time. I've been praying, but I don't think I'm hearing God speak. I don't know if I'm hearing God back. Like, I spend time, and I'm talking to him, and I'm trying to pray. I'm doing whatever, but I don't really know if I'm hearing anything. Or I spent this time and I was praying and I felt this thing in my stomach. How in the world do I know if that's God or my wife's casserole? Like, what is that feeling? And I want to start by saying, you know, hearing God's voice is normal. If you are a child of God, hearing his voice is normal. When we look at the scriptures, we see it. In the very, very beginning, in Genesis, he was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He spoke audibly to Samuel. And then to Daniel, he spoke through visions and dreams. I still think that God wants to speak today. For the very same reasons that we want to talk to our kids. I mean, we do want to talk to our kids. We want to talk to them. We want to show them love. We want to encourage them. We want to guide them, right? Hopefully. So as you do these things, I think it's exactly the same reason why God wants to talk to us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to show us love. He wants to guide us along the path. He wants to kind of correct us as we go along. And I do think that the television and the big screen has really messed this up for us when it comes to hearing from God. Like, I don't really expect to sit down in my Lazy Boy and begin to pray and have Morgan Freeman show up, right? Like, I'm not expecting him. And for those of us who are older in the room, George Burns is not showing up, okay? Like, I think it really messed it up on the way that we would hear God's voice. Now, God speaks in all kinds of different ways. He can speak through his scripture. If you're reading his word, he can speak to you that way. He'll speak to you through dreams and visions and conversations with other people and all of these different ways that God will talk to you. Sometimes it's just a gut feeling. But how in the world do we know that that's God? Personally, I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I know people who have. I've never heard him loud and clear, like speaking in my ear. Never heard that. But I have heard him speak to me through other people. I've heard him loud and clear through his scriptures as I'm reading through, and it's very obvious that he's talking to me. In John chapter 10, I'm going to kind of hover in on this chapter for a little while. There's a story there where Jesus is talking about a sheep's pen. Okay, so there's this, I guess we can kind of relate it to a gated community, but it's for sheep. So there's all these sheep in this pen, and there's a gate that you have to go in and out of. If you're the shepherd, you go in and out of this gate. And the story says that when Jesus walked, he's telling this story to the Pharisees. So he says, if I go into the gate, the sheep, they'll recognize the shepherd's voice. Not only will they recognize his voice, but when he turns around to walk out, they will follow him. And then he goes on to say that they will not follow a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. So then later on in John, in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know my name. This is Jesus talking. It's in red in your Bible, which means it's important. That was funny. And then in verse 27, he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus very clearly right here is saying, if you are my sheep, if you have a relationship with me, you should know my voice. And the contrary is also true. If you don't hear God's voice and you don't know God's voice, you know, better check that relationship a little bit. So here's the thing. I've been with my wife for 20 years. And this is really funny. There's this phenomenon that happens when you've been together for that long. So my phone will ring, and I will answer it, be like, hello. And she doesn't do this anymore. She doesn't say, hey, it's Dawn. Why doesn't she tell me it's Dawn on the other end? It's not because I have an iPhone and it says Dawn Brown on it. It's because I know her voice, and she knows that I know her voice. We all have those people in our lives where when they call, you pick up the phone, it's like, oh, Mama, it's been so good. I've been waiting to hear from you, or whatever. You know the voice instantly on the other end. Why? Because you spend time with them, you connect with them, and you talk with them regularly. Could you believe that understanding and hearing God's voice could be that easy? Just as easy as recognizing your spouse's voice on the other end of the line. It can be that easy. So here's the thing. When I first started dating Dawn, it takes time to get to know that voice. When I first started dating her back in the old days, and I was sporting the old school car phone with a battery the size of a loaf of bread, you know, I didn't know all the time her voice. Like, she would constantly be like, hey, it's Dawn. Oh, hey, Dawn. So good to hear from you. Well, as time went on, more and more conversations, I began to recognize her voice, and now I know her voice. If you are not hearing God's voice, that doesn't mean that he's not talking. It doesn't mean that he's not trying to communicate to you. Just the same as right now, all through this room, there are Sunday morning cartoons playing, and you can't see them. Is that what they play on Sunday mornings? I've been in church for so long now, I don't even know what they play on Sunday. I'm assuming, and that's not football season, so it's not the pregame. But there's waves all around us right now that we cannot see. because we're not tuned in. Radio waves all around us. We can't see them. Y'all remember these? You remember that? Come on, don't lie. Some of y'all was like this. Like, man. There are radio waves all around us right now. We can't hear them.
Right place to our door.
I have no idea what that was. Let me find another station. That was definitely not God.
Celebrating Dad's birthday with us. Yes, this is
an honor. The series premieres tonight at 9, 8 Central.
On it's a good Fox. TV show coming up on Fox, evidently.
Here tonight.
Oh, oh, that sounds like God. Oh, great timing, God. That was some pretty good timing. That sounded a lot like God. Yes, Air One, thank you. So, but here's the story. Those things are bouncing around in here all the time. We cannot hear them. We can't hear them unless we're tuned in. If we're not tuned in to God, you're not going to hear him either. So we got to get tuned in to him. You know, Alexis, my daughter, she plays in his giant chorus. It was a district chorus. All of Hampton Roads was there. It was a huge honor to be a part of this huge chorus of great, great musicians. And actually, your youth team that meets here on Sunday night and the girls that sing in that, there were three of those girls that are a part of that a giant district chorus. It was a huge honor. Anyway, so she's singing in there, and there's all these kids singing. And I'm all the way across the room. Do you know what voice I hear? I hear hers. Every time. It doesn't matter how many people are there. Oh, better example. Moms, you're at Kid Play Place down at the mall. Do I need to go any further? Man, you know that cry right away. Not only do you know the cry, you know when the cry is fake. Right? Get tuned in. You got to get tuned in. Got to be tuned in. So here's the thing. How in the world do we tune in? How do we even talk to God? And the basic way to talk to God is through prayer. And how do we pray? It's a conversation. It's just the same as when I talk to my wife or I talk to a friend. I just talk. But as a guy, I have to be very conscious of stopping my talking and listen. So the Bible tells us to pray constantly, without ceasing, it says. And when I read that, I'm like, all right, come on, God, seriously, obviously, you don't want me on my knees in this posture, head down, eyes closed, praying all the time. However, when the snow flies around here, it appears many of you take that posture behind the wheel, and that would explain so many cars in the ditch. So from a guy from Central Ohio who's driven, I drove in this stuff for years. I used to plow snow before I became a pastor. Let me give you a secret. You don't even have to pay me for this. Here's the secret. If you come up on a slippery spot, take your foot off the gas, coast through it, you'll make it to the other side, then you can put your foot back on the gas. You will not be in the ditch. You'll make it, and you'll make it home, okay? And if it's just rain, don't treat it like it's ice. It's just rain. Man, I've been waiting 4 years to get that off my chest. Just kidding. So for me, there's a very specific way that I love to get alone with God and pray. And the way that I do that, I love to be near the ocean. Being in Virginia Beach has been a huge blessing for me because I didn't even realize how much I loved being near the ocean. So like when I'm like in the middle of a time where I need to make a tough decision or I just want to go get some alone time with God, I will pack up a cooler, throw some Monster in there, some water to flush out the toxins afterwards. I will have my chair with me, throw them in the back seat of the car, drive down to Sandbridge Beach, which is absolutely my favorite, one of my favorite places on the planet. I will set up everything down there. I'll get real close to the water. I'll hear the waves crashing. It's before Memorial Day, so the tourists aren't here yet, okay? And the kids are still in school. So it's quiet, just the water. It's just me and God, and maybe some dude surfing. And then I'm sitting there, and this might not work for you guys. Maybe that's not the way you like to go get alone with God. For you, for some of you, it might be just crank the radio as loud as you can so you can't hear the kids in the back. I get it. So whatever it is for you to get alone with God, but say you're there, you're alone with him and you're talking to him, and all of a sudden, you've got this feeling. You've been praying about something specific, and you got this feeling in your gut. And it's like, God, is that you? Or is that that 10 pounds of crab legs I just ate at Margie and Ray's? Like, God, is that you? This morning, I want to share with you how you can run that through a filter to determine if that gut feeling you have, if it's God or if it's something else. All right, so here's the filter. There's going to be seven. I should have left those note cards out that Steve had last week because this would have been a good one for you all to take some notes on. But that sounded really arrogant. I didn't mean it to. So the very first thing that I do when I'm trying to hear God or trying to determine if this what I'm feeling is really from God is I go right into the Word of God. I go right into the Scriptures, and I look at it and I go, okay, God, does it line up with what you say right here in your Word? Do you guys understand? Do you realize that it took over 2,000 years to compile this book? 2,000 years. 40 different authors. Those authors, they lived on three different continents. They wrote it in three different languages. And in the end, it all agrees on one thing, that Jesus is Lord and Savior. 2,000 years. And for very many of those years since, the whole goal for the whole world was to eradicate this, to get rid of it, to burn it, throw it away. It's not relevant. All of those things. But yet, we still have it today. It was important enough that God protected it, and it's here. You realize before the printing press, people used to scribble this stuff down and carry it with them. And now, you have it right here. Here's the thing. In order for you to know if it lines up with Scripture, this is the tough part. You got to know some Scripture. You got to be in this thing. You got to be reading this book that God took such care of to put it in your midst. And thank goodness for lifechurch.tv, they put it on your phone. We got to be in the Word, and you got to know. Here's the thing. Here's an example. So let's say, single guys, I'll pick on you for a minute. You're at the office, and they just hired this new girl. Wow, the new girl. She is amazing. Oh, my goodness. She is everything I could ever imagine in a wife, and I just met her. I've got to pray about this. Oh my goodness, could she be the one? Did God put her in the cubicle beside me because he wants her to be the one? I got to pray about this. So you go home and you pray. And while you're praying, you get that feeling in your gut. And you're like, oh my goodness, God, you did? You put her in the cubicle beside me just for me? She's going to be my wife? Oh my goodness. And then you go and there's one problem. She's married. Bum deal. Do you really think that you heard God clearly when he said she was going to be your wife? No, man, you missed it somehow. Somewhere in that transmission, things got a little cloudy. Y'all remember when you were younger and you were listening to your radio? Man, I might date myself here, but I think most of you are about my age. Or, well, maybe not. As I look around, I might be the oldest guy in the room. So, You're sitting there and you're listening to your radio, and all of a sudden a CB comes through. Do you remember this with your TVs for sure? Like, I'd be watching Scooby-Doo, and all of a sudden, Rubber Eye Breaker 19. I'm like, what? What the heck was that? Scooby-Doo don't sound like that. But you would have that interference. I would say if you thought God had put that girl there to be your wife, there was interference, because that doesn't line up with his word. And the very next thing, I guess, point number two. So does it line up with his word? The next thing that you can run it through, the next filter would be, does it make me more like Christ? Does it make me more like Christ? He's the standard. I mean, Jesus is the standard. He's the one that we strive to be like, the one that we want to be like, the one that we want to give like, the one that we want to love like. But once again, the only way you're going to know who he is is through getting into his word. But I can give you here's a cheat sheet for you. in James chapter 3, verse 17. We're given a really quick little formula to find out if something that we hear or we feel like we hear from God, if it lines up with His word or if it makes us more like Christ, it will be these things. First of all, pure. So if what you're feeling isn't pure, there might have been static in the line. If it's not peace-loving or considerate, submissive, oh man, that's a hard word, submissive. Full of mercy, sometimes we don't really love to give out that mercy, but man, it sure feels good when we get it. And good fruit, maybe it's impartial and it's sincere. So if you're looking at something and you're like, all right, look, this lines up with what the scripture says, and it lines up with all of these things. It's definitely, you know, pure. It's not, you know, I don't, the opposite of pure. it's peace-loving. I'm not out there trying to start quarrels and arguments and fights amongst people. I'm not gossiping and backstabbing and all of that stuff. Then, well, maybe you move on to the next one. The next one is, does it line up or does my church family confirm it? We offer a ton of small groups here. And we encourage you to be a part of it, and here's why. We want you to have godly relationships that you can test things like this with. We want you to be able to test it. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve talked about the body and how every one of us are a part of the body. And as a part of the body, none of us are more important, none of us are expendable. We're all important as a part of the body. We were designed to work together. I remember when I was first starting to feel a call to ministry, and I would, that gut feeling at that moment, I would call that queasiness, because I was not excited about the possibility of being a pastor. It wasn't anything I had aspired to be, wasn't anything I really wanted to be. There was a time or two I had been accused of really not even liking people, which makes it hard to be a pastor when you don't like people. But I was kind of getting this feeling, and I'm like, God, really? Because I had a good job. I worked for the state of Ohio. I made pretty good money. I had great insurance as a state employee. And working for a church would mean a pretty significant pay cut and no insurance. And I was like, oh, queasy. But then as time went on, we were looking to hire somebody at our church in Ohio, and I was trying to lead the campaign to go find somebody because I didn't want it to be me. Like, I was trying to lead the campaign. Let's go find this person. That's the perfect fit. And I was doing a lot of these different things in the church, and I was sitting there. We were praying one night, and there was a big group of us, and one of the ladies in the group says, do you realize this person is you? And I was like, get behind me, Satan. But no, I was like, no. No, I don't want it to be me. So we keep going, and just, you know, I'm starting to get it. Like, I'm starting, okay, now God has confirmed this word through somebody else. I was already feeling that gut thing. And then I was there on a Sunday morning, and our general, or superintendent, which was, I was a part of the denomination back home, and like the top guy of our whole area was at our church that morning. And I'm running around like I normally do on a Sunday morning, trying to get things ready. And I literally like pass him in the hallway. I'm like, hi, Dave. And as he's walking by me, he's like, are you called to the ministry? And I was like, oh man, that's two. Doesn't the Bible say something about two witnesses? So I had to start really, really paying attention. I had to really start digging in and really start listening a little bit more. So people in your church can confirm what God is saying if you ask them. Keep in mind, there's danger in asking people about your prayer time. And the danger is, I think, mostly on us, because I think a lot of times we will seek out those people who will tell us what we want to hear. You know, I would have been going to the guys who were candidates for the position. Do you think it's me? And they'd have been like, no, I think it's me. So just keep that in mind. Go after wise counsel. Seek out wise counsel. Incredibly important. And it's for all of us. I still run, and when I have a decision, I still run it through these different filters, okay? The next thing is it consistent with how you are shaped? You know, God, it says in the scriptures that you are God's handiwork. You were created to do good works that God put out in front of you long, long ago. So you're his handiwork. And he shaped you in a specific way to do a specific thing. So is it fit within that? SHAPE is an acronym, if that's the right word. I don't like acronyms, but this one was good. So SHAPE is your spiritual gifts. That's the S. Acronym, that's the right word, right? Okay, thank you. I would have had to not let them put this one on the internet if it was wrong. Heart is the H. Your abilities is the A. Your personality is the P. And your experiences is E. Once again, I have a caution here. When I was starting to feel this call to ministry, to do the things that I needed to do, I have to tell you, I could not organize a grocery list. And my position here at Essential Church is very much very organized driven, you know, making sure that all of our teams are running well and everybody knows what's going on and all these different things. So God did take something where I had very little experience and really poured it into me. So if you are called by God to do something, he has already qualified you to do that. So if it sounds like I just contradicted myself, I didn't. That was an asterisk, okay? It wasn't a contradiction. It's an asterisk in the record books. So that's the right word too, right? All right, here's the next thing. I think there's two gigantic lies in the world. Two lies that we tell our kids all the time, and it's crushing them. The first one is that sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's the biggest lie in the entire world. Because you can hit me with a ball bat, it's going to hurt, but man, those words will crush me for life. Huge lie. Second lie. The second biggest lie in the world is this. You can be anything you want to be. Oh, Tony Robbins and Oprah have been lying to you. You cannot be anything you want to be. I can never be LeBron James. I'm just telling you, can't. I don't have the calves for it. Yeah. That was funny, right? So, however, I could also never be an opera singer. I can't even be on the stage with your worship team. Ask Pastor Alex, he won't let me. For good reason. It's not within my shape. It's definitely not within my abilities, my experience. Not a spiritual gift. I do have a heart for worship, though. Oh, 1 out of 5 is probably not good. So here's the thing. The next thing that you need to do, so we've already hit on a couple. Is it in God's word? Does it make me more like Jesus? Does my church family confirm it? Is it consistent with the way that God made me? Is it the way he shaped me? Does it concern my responsibility? When I was going over this and I shared this with my wife, she told me a big time out on this one. But I have scripture to back this up. So if it is not a part of your responsibility, be careful because God may not really be talking to you about it. God is never going to complain to you about somebody else. Okay? If you feel like God told me you need to be doing a better job of this, well, that may not have been God. That might have been the crab legs. So don't, you know, let's just be careful there. And here's the scripture that I have to back this up, because I had to share this with my wife and convince her that this was good. In John chapter 21, Jesus is walking down the street and he's walking with Peter. And he's saying to Peter, you guys have heard this story. He's saying to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asks him 3 times, and then he says, well, follow me. But in the midst of this conversation, he says, Peter, you're going to die on a cross. They're going to hang you up, and that's how you are going to die. And Peter's like, what? I just told you I love you. And as they're walking down the road, Jesus has just told this to Peter. They turn around, and Peter sees John walking in behind him. He's like, well, what about him? I'm going to die on a cross. What about this guy? And Jesus says to him, he goes, that's none of your business. If I want John to live until I return, I'll do that. That's of no concern of yours. So what I think is sometimes Jesus can talk to you. God will speak to you about other people. God will use you to confirm things in other people. God will never complain to you about somebody else. If it doesn't concern you, you need to really be looking really closely before you confront somebody else on something. Asterisks. If you're in a conversation with somebody, for instance, that young single man is still convinced she's going to be his wife. You're in a conversation and it's blatantly obvious that this is not the right direction. And he's confided in you about that. And while you're praying, God says, you should say something. Well, then you should. There are times where God will speak to you just the same as he spoke to that young lady who told me, do you know that is you? Do you know you're the next pastor at this church? So I know it's clear as mud, right? Sorry. That's why we got this. All right, so if it doesn't concern your responsibility, then, you know, you got to check it. Check it. The next thing is it convicting or is it condemning? Let's just say you're in prayer. You're out at the beach, and all of a sudden, there's a sin in your life that kind of is revealed. And while you're sitting there and you're praying about this sin in your life, you hear God say, oh, you are so worthless. You could never get past that sin. Oh, no, you're going to hell. We're over you. You're done. Worthless. Scum. I can't believe you treat your kids that way. That's condemnation. That does not come from God. However, this might. You might have wanted to handle that situation with your kids a little bit differently. You're a great mom. You're a great dad. But the way you handled that could have hurt them. What you said to them was probably very hurtful. Why don't you go apologize? Conviction, very different. You see the difference? Conviction, it leads to life. Oh man, does it lead to life. And it's a blessing, and it hurts sometimes, but man, it's a blessing. Condemnation, it leads to death. It'll drag you right back into your former life of sin, and it hurts. And it hurts. It's a burden, and you carry it. But the cool thing is, Scripture says, this is why I can say this, Scripture tells us that there is no condemnation when you're with Christ. None. No condemnation. Conviction, yes. Blessing, thank you, Lord. Guide me down this path. Those conviction to me are guardrails. If I bump into it and I feel bad about it, I'm like, whoop. Better get back over here. That's what it is. It's a guardrail for me. Condemnation makes me want to punch somebody, you know? Typically me. Like, it's not cool. Next one. Do you have a sense of peace about it? Do you have a sense of peace about it? Now, God's not the author of chaos. He's created peace. All about peace. And the thing is, with peace, sometimes when you have a decision looming and you've been praying about it and you know you need to do this, sometimes you'll be well on your way to doing it and then you get really scared. Well, that could very well be the enemy just trying to get you to not do it. But do you have a real deep sense of peace about that decision? Dawn and I were getting ready to buy a car. This is years ago. I would have done it differently if I had taken Dave Ramsey by then. But we were getting ready to buy this car, and if you're a car salesman, I apologize. I used to sell cars, so I know I was the guy they hated. But when I would go in there, and we had picked out the car, we drove it, we spent all of this salesman's time, we had done all of those things. He had every ounce of paperwork, every piece of it was laid out there, everything was filled in, every I was dotted and T was crossed, but I hadn't signed for it yet. And I had just recently accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I really hadn't prayed for him to him about a whole lot of different things. So this may seem like a silly analogy, but the reality is this is a really true story, and it was a big time part of my life. And I'm like, man, I can't sign these yet. I got to go pray about this. So I go outside. I'll never forget it. It was cold, Columbus evening, Columbus, Ohio. I'm sitting out on these blocks, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, God, is this right? Should I be buying this car? And plain as day, in my gut, I felt it. I don't have a peace about this. This is not the right move. But God, we've already spent hours with this guy, and I've wasted my whole day in Columbus, and I'm, nope, it's not right. All right, so I go back in, I smile at the guy, and I'm like, bro, I can't buy your car. And I'm like, I just prayed about it, and I can't buy it. And then, of course, that salesman looked at me like, you prayed about it? What? Are you crazy? But I prayed about it. I said, no, I can't buy it. So we leave the place. 2 days later, Dawn gets a call, and there's a much better car, a much better deal, and we wind up getting that car, and all's well. But I didn't have a piece about it. So I ran the same thing. I run it through these filters. I didn't have a piece, so I stopped. So let me wrap this up. When we watched that video this morning, there were so many things going on in that video. So much noise and chaos going on in that video. And it would be so hard to slow our lives down enough to really hear what God is trying to say. And when you're doing the radio thing back in the day, you guys remember this. For those of you who only know about MP3 players, let me fill you in a little cool piece of history. There used to be this time in history where when we had these, we would, like when we wanted to hear our favorite song, we actually had to call a DJ on Friday night, request night. And we would say, yo, man, I really want to hear Rock Me Amadeus. Somebody else made that call too, right? So you'd be in there, and then the really cool thing would happen. You would put one of these in. You'd put one of these in, and you would wait. You would hear that first note, and you would push these two buttons at the exact same time. And then you would have that song on your mixtape forever. And that analogy would have been so much better before Guardians came out, because now they know what the mixtape is. But here's the thing. When you're waiting on that song, I know you guys did this late nights. Boyfriend just broke up with you, and you're laying there. You're listening to the sob story songs, and you're all sad, and you're calling your friend on your phone that's actually wired to the wall. And it's storming outside, and you're just listening, and the lightning would strike, and you'd hear in your radio. And if you were recording at that time, it's like worst-case scenario. But here's the thing. That static in the line, look at that as sin. And when we're trying to be really connected with God, and we're really tuned in, and we're listening to our favorite song, and we're right there with God, and all of a sudden, the static comes in. It's sin. Something is breaking up that connection. How do we go about getting rid of that? Well, I'm going to have Jonathan come back out. And the reason we do communion every week is just that. It's how we just wash that stuff away. You know, when we, Jesus talked about from the east, as far as the east is to the west, is how far out he'll cast your sin. It's gone. Do you realize he used those words on purpose? Those of you who are in the Navy, you know, and most of you already know, you can go as far east as you want. You can go forever, and you're always going east. Why didn't Jesus say it's from the north to the south? Well, you can only go so far north before you're heading south. The reason he casts your sins out from the east to the west is because it's forever. It's gone. Gone. Does this posture look familiar too? He did it on that cross for all of us, for all the static in our life, to get rid of it so that we didn't have to deal with it anymore, so that we could have open line of communication with him on the cross. And that's why we do communion. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for your son who came and died. Lord, thank you for him who came and died and allowed us to have this, even this time to pray with you right now, God, that he would open up this line of communication. Father, I pray that as we go away this week, that we would be able to focus in, and as we feel those nudgings from you or even the audible voice, Lord, that we can run this stuff through the filter, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that it's you speaking to us and not us mixing signals. Father, help us to get into your word, to learn your word, to be encouraged by your word. Lord, help us to know when things make us look more like your son. Father, I pray for folks to get involved in small groups and have a real great group of godly friends that can help guide them and lead them and in being an encouragement to them. But Lord, this morning, more than anything, I pray, God, that if for someone in here, God, that doesn't know who you are, that they've never heard that, Lord, or they've felt those nudgings and they never recognize that, God. Maybe this morning, Lord, their stomach is twisting. Maybe their heart is pounding. Lord, then I pray right now you make it so obvious to them that they need a relationship with you. And that they might begin that today, God, by taking communion for the very first time. That they might come down and take a piece of bread, Father, and that represents your body that was broken for us so that we could have this conversation. They would dip it in the juice, Lord, that you represents your blood that was poured out to take away the sin of the world. Father, help them to just focus in and tune in on what you're saying right now at this moment. In Jesus' name. So, communion is that moment that we do every week because we need to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. We need to be reminded of what sacrifice he made that we could have a relationship with his Father. And this morning, before you come up, I want you to think for a moment. What is it that's creating the static in the line for you? What is that sin in your life that is causing you to have interference in the line? What is it for you? And then what I want you to do is I want you to pray, come up front, and let it go. East to the west, let it go. For the middle aisles, as you come through, there's self-serve communion on the outsides. There'll be folks serving communion. You'll come down the two side aisles, around through the middle and around through the outsides. So would you come?
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.